Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 10, and we're going to read together verses 24 through 30, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Do You Hear What I Hear? Now, this is not a Christmas carol that we sing in December. But I'm asking this legitimate question this morning. Do you hear what I hear? And I truly believe that God wants to speak to us today. Can I get amen? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. And the way he spoke to the patriots of old, he still speaks to the saints of God today. God is unmovable. You cannot shake his foundation. Our foundations get shooken up. But God speaks today. Can I get amen? So, are we there? John chapter 10, verse 24 through 30, and it reads, Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered him and said, I told you, and you do not believe. The Pharisees never believed anything that Jesus had to say. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. You see, there's a difference between a lamb of God being the sheep of his fold and the opposite side being a goat. My sheep, say that with me. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. The key to this message, but the key to your life as the sheep of God is that we know him because we hear his voice. You're here this morning because you love the Lord. You're not here just to say, oh, well, I came to church. No. Majority of you love the Lord. And you want to hear from him. Can I get amen? So now, it's very comforting to know that God loves us enough to make a plan for each of our lives. How many believe that he has a plan for your life? Oh, yes, he does. In fact, saints, he designed it before we were ever born. Did you know that God designed and planned out your life before you even came into existence? Nothing about our lives is an accident. I hope you know that. Yeah, some of you may have a testimony. Well, I heard it said that my parents were in the back seat of a car one day and came forth I. That's not an accident. It's the providence of God. It's the providence of God. Although God's plan is best, and it's the only plan that will succeed, it's not always the easiest. Oh, yes. Why? Because he allows tribulation and trials to be experienced in your life. Why? Because we still live in this sinful body. And there are things that need to be corrected in our life. Can I get amen? How many of you recall when you were in high school or junior high or elementary that you were the one that always disobeyed the teacher? Oh, it's just me. We would lie to our parents. Oh, yeah. That was our nature, wasn't it? But when we come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden, God has our full attention now. Why? Because he's doing something so unique in our lives, we can't even comprehend it. All we know is that we're filled with now unspeakable joy. We know that eternity with him is for us now, and that there's a hell to shun. You see, the word of God confirms what I'm saying. Right here in Jeremiah, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Isn't that something? Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he already knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Okay, every one of you are a prophet. I hope you know that. What does that mean? That means God has enabled you to prophesy the gospel to the unbelieving world, to proclaim, to herald the provision that God has given the church, which is power and authority, the written word of God, the anointing of God, the power of God. It is the providence of God that we're here today praising him and glorifying him and magnifying him. God planned this out before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. So we go through trials. We go through reports from doctors. We have accidents. We have all kinds of setbacks and failures in life. But God already knew it. And it's not going to prevent his perfect will to be done in your life. Just look at yourselves on a chessboard, and he's moving you around. He's the one that's putting the rooks and the bishops and the kings and queens and all those things in your place so that you would be a conqueror. How many want to be a conqueror? Well, Jeremiah said before the foundation, it's also declared in the New Testament, in Galatians. But when he who had set me apart before I was born had called me through his grace. It was God's grace that he delivered you from drugs and alcohol. Some of you prostitution. Some of you lying and cheating and whoring around. It was his grace that pulled you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then there's some that grow up morally. They would never do the things we've ever done, but yet they don't know Jesus. They still need Jesus. They can be religious all they want to be, but there's still a void, and that void is Christ. So a lot of people think unless you have that testimony of all testimonies, that all other testimonies are insignificant. Wrong. Every testimony is significant to God because he's the giver of life. He's the one that saves us from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's the one that allows us to be in certain situations of life, and he allows the bag from underneath to burst open, and then all of a sudden, everything you have lost, and he allows you now to mourn for him. My goodness. So saints, we may have to climb a few mountains and walk through some dark valleys. How many have walked through some dark valleys? But if we follow his instructions, we'll discover the rewards of living according to his will. That's why it's important, saints, to ask the Lord to reveal his plan to us and to be ready and willing to listen for his directions. So, since God has a plan, we can be certain that he wants to guide us into it. I'd rather be led by him. I don't want to read books and watch programs like Oprah and Dr. Spock and Dr. Phil and all these philosophers of the day. They have no knowledge. They have no power. And Brother Angel, they're like those books over there, no power. There's no power in those books. There's power in this book. Can I get an amen? King David understood this. Look what he said. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God's eye is upon us. So whatever you do in private, whatever you do in the dark, his eye is right there. Are you really going to do that? Do you really want to drink that? Do you really want to smoke that? Do you really want to see that evil with your eyes? He speaks to us still. Can I get amen? Amen. And so when we're walking in the will of God, it becomes a trust issue. Do I trust God enough to follow his will for my life, or do I step over the box and go on the other side? It's all about trusting the Lord. How many trust the Lord? Okay, well, Proverbs says it just best. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You know, I've counseled a lot of youth, a lot of young brothers. I remember about 7 years ago, we had a kind of somewhat like a deliverance class. We had these DVDs about pornography and things of that nature. And the question that I imposed upon them at that time, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So before you put that on your screen or on your phone or whatever you do, do you ask God, hey, it's okay, God? What do you think he'll say to you? There'll be conviction. He won't give you the green light. And then if you just close your ears like this, I don't hear you, and you wallow in it, the rest of your day will be miserable. You'll walk around with so much condemnation because your heart, your own heart will condemn you. See, God doesn't bring condemnation. He brings conviction. Our heart brings condemnation. This is why God says, I am greater than your heart. Your heart will condemn you all day long. So to acknowledge the Lord means consider what he says, recognize his great power, trust his guidance, and follow his instructions. He's continually seeking to guide us, saints, every day. The moment we wake up, the moment you open your eyes in the morning, he's right there. I want to guide you today. But if we're not listening, we'll miss his instructions and go the wrong way. And we're prone to do that. We're prone to do that. Why? Because we live in this sinful nature that needs to be under his special care. When Jesus speaks, he wants us to listen. How many believe that? How many believe that he wants us to what? Listen. Saints, as Jesus taught a large crowd, he preached to 5,000 on a hill, not including children and women. When he fed them, remember he fed them fish and he fed them fish sandwiches. If I was there, I'd go, man, give me a fish taco. Jesus called for their attention. He would always say, listen. Jesus would always say, listen. Some of us are not listening. Some of us need to just slow down and focus and listen. Look at what it says here in Mark. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him. so that he got into a boat and sat on it on the sea. And the whole multitude was there on the land facing the sea. So then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, what did he say? Listen. He says, listen. Listen to him. And he talked about, in this particular passage, a sower went out to sow. And Christ also announced this in Mark 4:23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him what? Hear. See, when God speaks, we need to open up our spiritual ears to listen. Can I get an amen? Because if we're listening it in the natural, it'll bounce off. It's like a wall that cannot penetrate and go into our spirit because we're not listening to him. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Now, one of the reasons, I just want to pause here real quickly, because in my family, we grew up listening to all kinds of music. When we were kids, my oldest sister was in a band, and then later on in life, my younger brother became a DJ. We always were listening to jazz and funk and R&B, and it was part of our makeup. It was part of our family. It was part of our DNA. And one of the things that when I got saved, I remember walking into my room and I had over 300 CDs and I think 200 albums. And all the music at that point was detestable now. And so I got rid of them. I got rid of them. Because I knew that there is something in that music that is satanically influencing. Can I get amen? There's a hidden subliminal kind of message that you don't see, but it gets into your spirit. And then all of a sudden, man, And then all of a sudden you're going back to the day when you used to do the naughty. You see, music will resurrect your memory. It'll bring up stuff, man, that, wow, I thought this stuff was dead and buried. No, it's still there. Why? Because God hasn't changed our body yet. And so those memories are still embedded there. He says, take heed what you hear. And one of the reasons why the youth is such in huge bondage is the garbage they're listening to. You want to know where your child is at spiritually? Look on his iPhone and look at his music repertoire. Is it the Word of God? Is it devotion? Or is it bleepity, bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleep? Ask yourself that. That's where you will know where they are spiritually at, in the music. Why? Because we allow that to come in instead of God's voice. And so with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So it works two ways. More of God, then more growth. More awareness of the things that are evil. But more of the world, God is a million miles away. And don't even bring that up right now. I don't want to listen to that. I want to please my flesh. Some of you have kids that are all into that rap and rock and garbage. And you think it's okay. No, it's not okay. That music will take someone to hell and destroy their life forever. Why? Because it's all about fornication. It's all about homosexuality. It's all about sodomy. It's all about all kinds of manner of iniquity. Everything goes. Because they're not listening to the voice of God. They canceled him out. And so now they're listening to the voice of the devil. So saints, it's not only important to hear, but it's critical to be discerning in our listening. At another time, Jesus called out, listen to me. Look what he says here. He said, when he called out the multitude to himself, he said, hear me, everyone, and understand. Why does he keep repeating, hear me, listen to me? Because they were hearing the wrong voice for many years. Now Jesus comes on the scene, the anointed one. And this is why we need, this is why I pray every sermon, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so saints, Jesus' goal is that we comprehend what he says. Look what he says to Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? He was a Pharisee. He was one of those rulers of the Jews. But yet, I call him Nick at night. He snuck out. He didn't want none of his peers to know that I got to go see this man because I'm watching him raise the dead. I'm watching blind eyes see. I'm watching the lame walking and the mute talking. I got to go see. I got to go inquire. So Jesus had a conversation with him at night. And notice Jesus could have just, say, hey, how you doing? Let's have some tea. But Jesus already knew his heart. So Jesus cut through all the chase. You know what he said? Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What? That's right. Right here. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is why these folks are in all that, what I just said, because they're not born again. I don't care. You can profess Christ, yeah, and say I was baptized. But if you're wallowing in that sin, where is the evidence of you being a Christian? Listen, when there's a crime, detectives, the first thing they look for is the evidence. Why? Because the evidence will culminate to be an indictment. There has to be an indictment so that then there will be a prosecution. And so they look for the evidence. And so if you're saying, yeah, man, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, and yet you still live like the devil, there's no evidence of you being born again, being saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. There's no evidence of that. Yeah, I know it's tough, but it's all about hearing God. Can you hear God through all the chatter? Can you hear God through all the dark culture that we live in? Through the movies and through entertainment and through the music? Through Hollywood, can you still hear God? So the phrase, truly, truly, I say to you, is used 25 times by Christ in the book of John alone. It was his way of emphasizing what he was trying to say that was authoritative, truth that deserved full attention. God deserves our attention. Can I get amen? If he saved us from burning in hell, I believe he has deserved our attention. We need to take heed and understand what he saved us from. Some people are just so religious, they don't hear what God, what Jesus is saying. They've come up to their own understanding. Well, this is what I think. This is what this says. Really? And it doesn't even match up with the word. How does God speak to us today? We know that the Lord spoke to people in the Bible, throughout the whole Bible. But he also wants to speak personally to each of his children today. I hope you know that. This means we must be attentive because no one else can listen unless you are focused on God. Look what it says in James. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? And slow to speak. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. See, when you bring truth and they reject it, you know what comes forth after that? Is their wrath. Because they don't comprehend truth because they don't know the one that's true. They're religious. But the truthful one is not living inside them. They're not born again. So they'll fight you tooth and nail. What do you mean I got to shut this down? What do you mean I got to get this out of your house? And when they balk you and mock you and they fight you, it's because the truth is not in them. And they'll fight you all day long. And let me just say this. That beepity-bappity-blappity-bap that comes in your home, it brings spirits. There's spirits that piggyback on that. And now your house is full of demons and you think it's prayerful. I'm telling you, music has a stronghold. And it's not what God wants us to hear. He wants us to hear worship and praise and glorifying and magnifying and proclaiming. We need to be proclaimers of the word. What he's done in our life and what he can do in your life, that he can set you free. We prayed this morning before we started the service that someone in here today would be set free. Saints, God's primary way of speaking to us through his word. The Bible's not just an old book, but the inherent, authoritative word of God and the only source of truth. Can I get an amen? When we read it, we're hearing directly from the Lord. Directly from the Lord. As I said, how many devotionals and Bibles do you have on your phone? How many are at home? How many are in your children's room at home? Is the word of God filtered in their mind? Is there praise and worship going on in the home? Or is there vulgarity? Look at this. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from what? Hearing. And hearing through the word of Christ, through the word of God. It's God's word. Look what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. The only way you're going to know the mysteries of God is through his word. You can't just sum it up. Well, I think this is what God said. If it don't line up with the word of God, it's not God. Look at this. John 8:4, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Don't throw tomatoes at me now. I'm glad Jesus wrote it. He said, if you're not listening to me and you can't get rid of that evil mess, that beepity blap and whatever it is, that means you're not of God. Whew. This is not a popular message today, is it? You got to get rid of those things. Why do you think what's happening just in Chula Vista? I keep getting emails from people that, hey, you need to go over there and preach to these people, the transgenders that are taking over the libraries. And then they found out that these transgenders, they went to their Facebook page and saw all kinds of homosexual activity. And now they have embarked on our children. I'm telling you, the devil is like he's a slippery snake that wants to sliver into places to promote his unrighteousness, to mock the things of God. And you wonder, what are these librarians and these councilmen and these, what are they listening to? They're not listening to God. This is why God called out the church. That we would uphold God's righteousness. That we would uphold the banner of Christ. That we would proclaim his righteousness. Can I get amen? Amen. Look what Isaiah said. He said it like this. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, God will be there leading and guiding us. God will not lead us into error. He will not lead us into sin, and he will never tempt us. Can I get an amen? That's not how God rolls. He loves us. He wants to change us for our good. He's already good. But it's for our good. All other methods of listening to God must be checked and compared with the scriptures to determine if they are accurately hearing him. He also speaks to us through prayer. Any of you have a devotional time with God? Do any of you have at least 5 minutes with him, 10 minutes? Or is it just at dinner time? Oh, bless the meal, God. Thank you, God. Then we just chow it down. Saints, prayer is our way of communicating with God by talking to him. But it's also a time to be still and listen for his guidance. Instead of simply running through our list of requests and moving on the day's duties and activities, we need to learn to be still for a while to see if he has anything to say to our hearts. The Lord may speak through our circumstances, and he does. I've heard him speak to me many times through my circumstances. And when a situation is painful, we must remember that hearing from God is more important than our comfort and pleasure. Oh, I don't like this pain. Oh, God is saying something. Just trust me. You gonna trust me? No, I want to go now. And so we go looking for that medicine cabinet. Or what's the fad now? It's not the emergency room. It's the urgent care. And when you get there, you're waiting 4 hours just to be seen. My goodness. So saints, instead of focusing on why the situation has happened, our first question should be this. Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me through this, God? You know, when I went in to get an examination, they did an EKG on me, and they said, well, it looks like you got some blockage here. So they set up 3 tests. So the first one I went, I think it was Friday or Thursday last week, and they did the echosonogram, where they put gel on you, and just like if you were like a woman, they do a sonogram to see where the baby's heart beat and all that. Well, they did that to my heart. And so I'm here the whole time, just roll this way and roll that way and, you know, roll this way. And so when it's all done, I said, okay, so I'm believing God that you didn't find nothing. She goes, you're right, I didn't find anything. I said, because I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. So the next one is Thursday. It's the stress one on the treadmill. Man, by God's grace, I don't say, God, empower my legs, empower my lungs. That if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, well, I don't care. That you would just give me the strength to just move forward, and that they don't find anything. And then the last one is the CT scan. So let them do what they're going to do, God. But you're in control of my life. You hold my next breath in your hand. My heart is in your hand, Lord. And you are the one that turns it whichever way you want to turn it. Can I get an amen? And so, sometimes God speaks to us even through other people. And it should be a word to encourage, not to tear down. Encourage, encourage. It may come in the form of affirmation, confirmation, encouragement, or even reproof or warning. Warning would be, man, if you're smoking 2 packs a day, try just smoking 1 cigarette a day and just wean it down, man. Because that billboard that you see, the Marlboro man, they don't put up there to see how black and tar your lungs are, full of cancerous sores on the inside from the 2 packs a day. So you could bring a gentle warning like that, man, if you keep doing that, you're doing yourself no good for when that day comes and everything has to collapse like a deck of cards. Because it could, your body could only tolerate so much, and then it'll collapse. It'll collapse. So saints, no matter the source, we should thoroughly and thoughtfully and prayerfully consider whatever he has said. Can I get an amen? And that is, how can we identify God's voice? How can we? Are you waiting for his blowhorn from heaven? Hey, praise the Lord, it's me. If you're waiting for that, you're going to wait forever. See, when we are seeking to hear from the Lord, we must make sure, saints, that it's his voice we are hearing and not our own thoughts or someone else's idea. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because look right up here. Jeremiah said it best. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our heart is so wicked. You know, God wrote this Bible so that we could identify who we are as sinful beings. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. See, before you even say a word, he already read your heart. Okay. Yeah, okay. If that's Jesus, tell him I'm almost done with his sermon. Listen, saints, God's voice is always consistent with his word. Can I get amen? It's got to line up with his word. Any message must agree with what the Lord has already said in scripture. Listen, every word is already forever settled. There's nothing new under the sun. If we come up with some other concoction and it's not in the word, you need to know with true discernment to reject it. Can I get an amen? It's got to line up with God's word. That's right. Because all scripture, say that with me. All scripture, one more time. All scripture, right here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need to line everything up with God before we go any further with it. Can I get amen? But if you're watching and listening and reading all this other nonsense and listening to the, like I said, the beepity bleepity bleep, that thing will have power over your mind. You know why? Because the sinfulness of us gravitates to that more easily than actually believing God's truth. This is why we have to subject ourselves. This is why we have to say, no, flesh, you're not having its way. Bishop Trout brought a tremendous message a while back that the older shall serve the younger. You remember that one? That means this fleshly man needs to now submit to the spiritual man, the born-again man that living inside. So all scripture. And guess what? How many believe that when God speaks to us, most of the time, it's in a little still, quiet voice? Can I get an amen? That's right. God, his voice is quiet. Where does it say that, preacher? It says it in his word. Okay, let's go there. 1 Kings 19. Look, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. This is Elijah who slew the prophets. Over 350 prophets he slew. And then this one sinful lady named Jezebel rose up. She was married to Ahab, the king, and threatened to cut off his head. So he cut off over 350 false prophets. And then one lady rises up, we're going to cut your head off. And he runs like a little girl. How does that work? A spirit of fear came upon him. Look at this. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great strong wind. So he ran to the wilderness, and he was like out of breath, and he laid against a tree. And then God had to minister to him right then and there. You see, when you finally stop running from running from your wits and slow down, now God will speak to you. And this is what happened to Elijah. Look at this. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. God spoke to him with a still small voice. Listen, if you have your ears clearly pinned to the Lord, you will hear his voice. And he will never lead you astray. He'll never lead you to sin. He will never lead you in anger or bitterness or resentfulness. He will lead you in righteousness. Because that's his nature. There is no darkness in God. There is no sin in God. So his only nature that he knows is righteous and just. And this is what he wants to lead us into. So God speaks to our hearts through his Holy Spirit in a way that's so compelling. I've heard his voice many times. Matter of fact, last Sunday I was blown away when we had the healing rooms. And I prayed for Sister Gina. And me and Sister Yvonne were praying, and then we got silent. We got silent, and I just wanted to hear his voice. And man, across my mind, I saw like doors that were just flung open. Boom, 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 boom. I said, man, I got a word for you. God's going to open up supernatural doors like no other. And from Monday till today, God opened up over 15 doors. She got 30 queen-size beds for this senior citizen home. She got all this food for the homeless. She got all these things that and clothes and things of that nature that came out of nowhere. You see, God wants us to listen to him, and it's always to edify and to build up, never to tear down. And so the Lord, he speaks clearly. Clearly, saints, if we'll tune into our hearts to him by setting aside time to read his word and to listen for his spirit to speak, he will give us clear guidance. How many believe that? Try him. Test him. Get before him in your own closet room. Just you and him, one-on-one. And sit, and don't move until you hear from him. He will speak to you. Why? Because he loves us. He wants the best for your life. Look. To hear God's voice clearly, there are a few things we have to do. It's only common Christian practice, biblical practice. Number one, number two, number three, number four, you got to quiet your mind. How many times have you said, I'm going to pray today? You get down, the phone starts ringing, the dog starts barking. Your phone goes off. You get these texts that, whoop, you got to quiet. Turn everything off. Get quiet before him. Place God as your number one counsel. Man, God, I want you to counsel me today. God, I'm in a pickle. Yeah, I know what brother so-and-so said. I know what sister so-and-so said. Okay, but confirm it, and I need to hear from you. Pay attention. Pay attention to him. Pay attention to his word. Believe all things. Prove all things. Know that it's him. Strengthen your relationship with God. If you don't have a strong relationship with him, then learn to have one. Listen, if you have strong relationships with your spouse and your children, that's great. Have a greater one with God. I'd rather have a great relationship with God, and I'll tell you why. Because he's the one that created me. if he created me, man, I want to be lovey-dovey on his lap. I want to say, thank you, God. Thank you for, he didn't have to create us. Matter of fact, all of us in here, we couldn't have been aborted. But God saw us through because he had a plan. He had a plan. Look at this. Read your Bible. Worship. Young people, when you're driving, worship God. Lord, I love you. I praise you. Or are you listening to the other? Always pause and listen. Listen to God. Listen to God. So, how does the Lord get our attention? How does he get our attention sometimes when we don't want to listen? Let me just say this. If he's the sovereign king and we've been bought with a price, the Bible says we are no longer his. I mean, our own. We are his now. He has bought us through the precious blood of the Lamb. So we no longer own ourselves. We are his. So if he has possession of us, why don't we listen to him? You see, it was the blood of Jesus that bought us, not brought, bought us back from the devil through the blood of Jesus. You see, we were in the camp of the devil from birth. And I don't know how many years it took until somehow he got through our knuckleheads. And then he gave us a heart to repent and a mind to be saved. But that whole time, we were running with the devil. We were in and out of bedrooms. We were, man, I don't know how many smoke-filled rooms and party and alcohol and all that. Went from one lover to another. All that mess. And then God radically saved us, sanctified us, filled us with his spirit, gave us a new nature, a nature to love him and to praise him and to glorify him, to magnify him. That we can walk in his ways and we can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for delivering a wretch like me. We were all about debauchery. We were all rolling in iniquity. And God saved us for such a time as this so that we would be a difference maker. That we would make a difference in people's lives. That they would see that there is a God in heaven. That he truly lives. And that they would come to an understanding. Well, maybe there's hope for me. And there is hope for them. Through Christ. So sometimes he uses a sense of restlessness. You ever been restless? Man. You know why? Because he wants to speak to you. He wants to get a hold of your attention. Hey, listen, I got something good to say to you. But sometimes, man, he'll wrestle you up until he gets your attention. You know why? Because the path you have chosen doesn't line up with his will, and it'll line up to a day of destruction. So he'll cause you to be restless so that he could get your attention. My goodness. Perhaps we have already planned a course of action, but then develop an uneasy feeling about it. Yeah, I'm going to do it like this. Today, I'm going to have a Burger King life. I'm going to have it my way. That's right. He'll make things uneasy. But if we'll pray and ask God for specific guidance, he might lead us in an unexpected direction. That's right. And that unexpected direction was contrary to the way you were going. Totally contrary. Now, at other times, God may get our attention with a gentle whisper. Hey, psst, psst. Listen to me. When's the last time he whispered to you and he told you that he loves you? You know why? Because that's his heart. His heart, his nature is to love us, to help us, even through correction. He only corrects us because he loves us. Listen, if you did not administer any kind of correction to your child, God's going to hold you accountable. You know that little thing behind them? Sometimes you have to take the Board of Education to the seat of their understanding. Oh, that's right. I don't care. Oh, they're going to call the protective service. No, you're not to beat them. You're to just correct them. And then after you corrected your child, then reconcile with them. Pick them up and love them through it. Say, I had to because I love you, son. I love you, daughter. And I don't want you to do this no more. It didn't feel good, did it? Well, I don't want to do it as much as you don't want it. But learn to obey me and we'll never have to have this conversation again. You got to love them. They have to understand what they did. It can't be through anger. It can't be, man, you no good, nobody. Now you're cursing them. You got to love them through it. You got to teach them. You got to show them what's good, what's wrong, what's evil, what's bad. And when you do it through love and you use the word of God and you use the wisdom of God, man, somewhere down the road, they're going to come into a saving knowledge with him. You know why? Because they can't see God, but they can see you. And so we are to show them Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can I get an amen? Come on, give them praise and glory in the house. Those little gentle whispers. And so, why don't we listen to God? Why? Why, saints? Is we may not believe that the Lord speaks today. Some people, I've been to some church. They don't allow the Holy Ghost in the house. They don't allow the kind of worship, express worship that we do. They don't want none of that. It's like going to church and it's like dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun. Wow. And so if that's the case, we won't be listening for his voice. If someone told you that God don't speak today, I'd be exit stage left, right even. I'll be like Snagglepuss. I'm gone. Oh, you don't remember that cartoon, do you? It just went right over your head. See, you got to believe that God speaks. How many believe that? You got to believe that. You have to have faith to believe that he speaks today. Can I get an amen? Look what Hebrews says. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. I want to be rewarded by God. I'd rather get God's paycheck than man's paycheck. You know why? Because one day man says, I got to lay you off. We got to close the doors to this thing now. So I'd rather get paid by God. Can I get amen? Jesus. I love his paycheck. That's right. Because it's holy, it's pure, it's good. He doesn't give us things. I shouldn't have. You know, there has to be that trust issue. And so, we might be afraid of what he will say. That's why we don't want to hear. I know what I'm in right now, and I love what I love, but I don't want to hear what he has to say. What if God asks us something we don't want to do? This kind of attitude displays a lack of trust and a failure to understand that his plans for our lives is always his very best option for us. I'd rather walk in his options. Can I get amen? That's right. And then this is, I've counseled many in the 31 years of walking with God, And this one I don't get, I'm going to show you right here. How can anyone, after knowing that he saved you from a pit of hell, from eternal torment, how can you be angry with the Lord? Because he didn't give you your way? There's some folk, man, I'm mad at God. Oh yeah, what did he do to you? Didn't you wake up this morning? Isn't your lungs still working? Isn't your heart still beating? Matter of fact, in about an hour, you're going to be eating. He's got food for you. He's got a roof over your head when you leave. Most of you got here through a car. He's blessed us. He has blessed us beyond comprehension. So why would you want to be angry? I'm angry at God. And that's how some people roll. If we blamed him for something that happened in the past, we may not be interested in hearing anything he has to say. Once again, he didn't do anything to us. We did it to ourselves. Can I get amen? Can we owe it to say, I did it to myself? Ain't no one put that joint in your hand. Ain't no one put that bong in your lips. Man, we used to think we were so bad when we used to go out. Oh, I'm going to go get me a case of the bull. Remember that? Remember the case of the bull? That was the poor man's beer. Or MD 2020. Am I going there? Am I going way back now? Huh? I'm going to share something with you guys that I never shared. I felt I need to share it. It was my 25th birthday, and they threw me a 5-kegger at Presidio Park. You know where Presidio Park is, right? And a lot of my friends, you know, they had, a lot of them had vans. Back then, it was like having a van was like, yeah, I got a van. And so I was lit up drinking. God was a million miles away. I went into the first van. I dropped some liquid acid in my eye. And I was frying immediately. Just frying. Then I walked out of that van, went into another van, and smoked some crack cocaine. Got out of that van, went to another van, and smoked some Buddha bud. Got out of that van, went into another van, and did some more lines. And within an hour, I was rushed to the hospital. My heart stopped. It stopped. And then they had to put that poof, poof on my heart to revive me. And then I remember the doctor looking at me. He says, son, what are you trying to do, man? Are you trying to commit suicide? This is what we found in your blood. They found all that stuff, THC, liquor, all kind of madness. And so I was released. It was probably close to midnight. My party was a shambles. They all stayed there and partied. Well, I was in a hospital laid up. Then I came home, and I was looking for my next line. Didn't hear, didn't want to know, didn't care. You see, when you're unregenerated, when you don't have a relationship with God, you can't hear what's right or wrong. You can't understand what's good and bad. Those things are foreign that you need to quit. You need to stop. But then, when God comes into your life, he will destroy everything that the devil has done in your life in a moment's of time. And when that custodian led me to the Lord at Horizon Christian Fellowship, out at 10 o'clock at night. I have $500 of crystal meth in my sock. God came into my life and totally eradicated, totally destroyed it. I didn't have a mind for it. I didn't have a desire for it no more. I was totally delivered. That is the power of God, that is the grace of God, and that's the mercy of God. And so now I see he had a plan for me, and he has a plan for you. Can I get an amen? He will use the life of debauchery to glorify him so that you can say, praise be to God, hallelujah. I was once lost, but now I'm saved. Can I get an amen? Amen? Amazing grace. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And so if we blamed him for something that has happened in the past, we may not be interested in hearing what he has to say to us today. Look at this. But indeed, oh man, in Romans, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed to him say who formed it? Why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? For the same lump to make one vessel for honor and for another dishonor. So in other words, God is sovereign. And God has power over all things. So who are we to say, I'm mad at you, God? Well, he looks down like we're just a bunch of lump of clay. And you're telling me? Man, we have to come to that place, all of us as saints of God, to know where our place is now in Christ. That we are to be humble servants. We are to walk in God's grace. Walk in mercy. Walk in the love of God. Because this dying world needs to see a true person walking with God. Look at what it says. He makes honor and another for dishonor. Then he goes on to say this. What if God wanted to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? I'm telling you, there's some people that are prepared because they will never want to hear what God has to say. We've been blessed because we are the children of mercy. And grace, we heard his voice. He gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. He quickened us to come. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. You and I are the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand the glory. Even us whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also you and I as Gentiles. Hallelujah. I'm coming in for a close, saints. Slow your roll. Those stylists are still over there. Hold on. I'm almost done. Well, one of the reasons that people don't listen, people get angry, people don't want nothing to do, its bottom line is this. We could have a rebellious spirit. If we're refusing to give up a particular sin in our lives, we won't want to hear the Spirit's convicting voice. And so then God will clump you right here. Look at 1 Samuel. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. He told King Saul, because you closed your ears, you closed the word, you don't want nothing to hear God's voice, you don't want anything to do with God. Look what he said. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Wow. This is not a good place to be with God. I'd rather be on God's team and God's side. Can I get amen? I don't want to go back to that life. That life was going to destroy me. It should be dead and buried. Can I get amen? So look, what are the consequences of not listening to God? We know that the Lord spoke to people in the Bible, but he also wants to speak personally to each of his children today. This means we must be attentive because no one else can listen for us. It's got to be you and him. Can I get amen? We won't receive his guidance and we'll miss out on his plan for our lives if we will walk contrary to his will. How many is receiving something from this message, or am I just wasting my breath up here? I want to do God's will. Can I get amen? Amen. And look at this. We'll listen to the wrong voices, be deceived, make costly decisions, and forfeit God's best. I want God's best. And since I've been walking with God, he has shown me his best. And guess what? The best is yet to come. If you think your life is enriched now, he wants to enrich it even more. Even in the midst of suffering. See, we don't fathom that, huh? We can't comprehend that. It clashes. Wait, suffering, tribulation, trials, and yet joy? Mm-hmm. Because he wants us to be overcomers. And if we continue to walk, and I'm going to close with this, in a rebellious heart, others will suffer. Case in point, my cousin who I thought was going to be here, I was hoping she was bringing her son because she's suffering because of his rebellion. Others get hurt. People get hurt because they have a rebellious heart. They won't listen. They don't want to be instructed. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to walk in God's ways, let alone listen to you. And so others will suffer. Why? Because we naturally, through God's given grace, we naturally love our kids. I hope you do. And it hurts us. It grieves us when they have rejected God and they have rejected instruction from you. It hurts us. We suffer. It's an unwillingness to listen to the Lord affects not only us, but our loved ones and associates and all that surround our life. So I close, saints. I close with these compelling questions. You got to ask yourself, okay, God, where am I right now? Where am I with you, Lord? Am I on your path or am I doing my own thing? Do you have something better for me, God? If so, help me to line up my life according to your will. That there will be no error in my walk with you. That when those things come to try to stray me aside or stray me away, Lord, that I would look unto you, the author and the finisher of my faith. So number one, have you ever felt a conviction regarding a particular sin? Or do you wallow in it and you don't hear God and you don't care to hear God and you just wallow in it? And then you come to praise the Lord. Number two, if so, have you heard God's voice? Is he saying, son, daughter? This will be detrimental down the road. Refrain from that. Ask me to empower you. Ask me to help you. Can we come to God in that manner where we can be transparent with him, where we can see for who he is? He's light, he's truth, and I'm walking in error. Oh, God, help me. Number three, how else have you sensed him communicating with you? Was it through the teaching of the word? Did you hear someone share God's goodness and grace with you? Just watch the news every day. Somebody walking into a department store shooting up somebody. There's somebody getting killed every day. There's more murders now than ever in the history of our United States. And God is saying, listen to me. I'll watch over you. I'll protect you. I will keep you in perfect peace. I will bless your home. I will bless your children. I will bless your lives, but honor me and follow me. Number four, as you've read the Bible, has a passage ever spoken to a situation you were facing? One thing comes to mind, a scripture always pops out when I'm in a predicament and I don't see a clear answer or I don't see an answer right away. I go to Romans. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. And because we are called, then we are not to panic. We're not to be filled with anxiety, but we are to be patient and to wait upon him. And he will give us the answers. He will see us through. Number five, what did the Lord say to you through his word? Number one, he tells us throughout Genesis through Revelation that he loves us, that he wants the best for us, that he created us meticulously and beautifully. Did you know that you are beautiful to him? Yeah, some of us look in the mirror and go, man, that's not what I used to look like. Really? That's me now? He still loves you just as you are. That's right. And by the way, he sees that new body you're going to have. When he sees you, he already sees your glorified state. That's right. One day when I get that new body, I'm going to be able to do this again. I'm asking God, are you going to put hair on that body? At least on top of this head right here. Listen, you could ask him all these things that are of no concern. But guess what? They are a concern to him. Everything in our life is a concern to him. So even asking something foolish like that, it just lets us know that he's God and we're not. Number six, how has Scripture given you guidance, comfort, or insight regarding a circumstance in your life? When people come up and get prayer, I'm reminded in Isaiah, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you, it'll be in judgment. Can I get an amen? God is for us, not against us. And lastly, what do you need to do to increase your sensitivity to God's voice? I laid it out this morning. Pray, spend time, quiet yourself, listen to him, find that personal time with him. Just that koinonia spirit with him, meaning that fellowship with him. For some, they go, man, how can I pray to something I don't see? That's because you have to allow the Spirit to come in so that you would be born again. And then now you have that unique relationship with him. And then he delivers you from the vices of the devil that you have no power over until Christ comes in. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, help us listen to your voice, God. Help us, God. Help us see your ways. Your ways are better than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that this message will be a message to encourage us that you specifically made us in the image of God to have the mind of Christ, to walk in your ways, to glorify you, to magnify you, and to testify who you are in our lives in the midst of a dying world. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for families here that have children that are wayward, that don't know you. I pray, God, that you would bring them into the salvation knowledge, God, by faith. I pray for those who are struggling with their humanity. Lord, empower them. Give them the will to seek your face, to turn from their wicked ways and to turn to you. I pray, God, for those right now that are struggling financially, Lord, open up doors of opportunity, Lord, that they will know that it has come from you and that you would bless them, God. Lord, help us, Lord, with our walk with you. Every day is a challenging day. Every day, every moment, every hour, every minute, every second is a challenging day. But God, see us through the challenge. Equip us, oh God. Strengthen our mind, body, and soul. Empower us, Lord. Allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate in our life, oh God, by faith. And Lord, that we would lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We would give someone a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Oh God, raise up the dead. Destroy the wicked works in our lives, oh God. Lord, that we would be a people that would be thankful and a heart of mercy for others that don't know who you are just yet. But they will soon come because we believe that it is a promise to us. Like you said in the book of Acts. You said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. If you're listening to my voice right now, you may be in this place or maybe listening, and someone has shared this message with you, and now God has moved on your heart. He has given you ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. And God has given you an opportunity right now to repent before a holy God and to turn from your wicked ways and now to turn to Him and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. Watch Him deliver you from all the vices of the devil, and you will walk in the newness of life by faith. If that's you listening right now, we want to pray with you. And watch God do something that you could never do in your own strength. It'll be God's grace and mercy and the power of the risen Christ raising you up to a new life. And so if you're listening right now, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Come on, is God worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.